1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 13, and new series now, Understanding God's Authority. Tonight I want to talk about the basis of God's authority, the basis of God's authority. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers. And notice the reason for government, or governors rather, to punish the evildoers. And also it says the praise of them that do well. So the government is supposed to punish evildoers and is supposed to praise those that do well. The Bible says in verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak to maliciousness, but as servants of God. Now, I want us to understand, when it's talking about the words here, submit yourselves, it says, it's talking about that which is a created authority. So God says that we're supposed to submit, and talks about to an ordinance. Now, the ordinance means that something he has created. So if you're a note taker, or you have it in your notes, the word ordinance simply means this. It's an interesting word. It means creation. So here's what God has done. God has created an ordinance, and he says to that created ordinance, we're supposed to submit ourselves to that created ordinance, or that created authority. Now, here's what he says. He says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers. Now, whatever that higher power may be. Now, God has given us many higher powers. Example, in the home, the father is the higher power. In the marriage, the husband is the higher power. In the church, the pastor is the higher power. In the country, the king is the higher power. In a government, you'll see, maybe in a state, rather, a governor is the higher power. On a basketball team, it is the coach that is the higher power. In the classroom, it's the teacher that's the higher power. In the school, the principal is the higher power. In the college, the president is the higher power. And here's what he says, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. It says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, again, the word ordain, it simply means this. It's the same word you'll find in 1 Corinthians where it says that he has set in place the members of the church. And so the word ordain also means to set. So basically God says that what I've done is I have set people. God says I have set people in certain places of authority. Now, by the way, God is the one that sets them in places of authority, not man. Not man. All right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. All right. Now, again, when we think of that word ordinance there, we're talking about a word that means creation. All right. So here's what God says. God says, when you have resisted the ordinance or the creation that I have placed in power, those that be, then you resist my very creation. All right. And so God is talking about how a person ought to submit to the ordinance. Years ago, Dr. Shelton Smith, this is many years ago, invited us to come down and to tour the Sword of the Lord in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. This is when I was a pastor many years ago in Tennessee myself. So we drove down, and it was wonderful. We were able to tour the entire Sword of the Lord. We met him there on a Monday morning at 10:45, and he took us through Dr. John O. Rice's old office, and we were able to see the old office of Dr. Rice. We were able to see, of course, his old dictating machine that he used, the old typewriter that was in there. We were able to see the old books. Then he took us, Dr. Hudson, when Dr. Hudson came, editor of the Sword of the Lord, he turned Dr. Rice's office into a museum for people to come by and be able to see. And so if you go there today, Dr. Rice's office is still a museum, and Dr. Hudson's office is now a museum. And, of course, Dr. Smith has a different office. But you could go through those two offices. And at the time, of course, we went through Dr. Rice's old office. We went through Dr. Hudson's old office, and we could see sort of like a memorabilia type of room where all these different things were archived and put up, old pictures of the old sword conferences and things of that nature. So we could see all sorts of things that was there. Now, at that time, they were sending out 80,000 different papers they were sending out a year. It was very interesting. He had 65 employees at that time, Dr. Smith did, and those 65 employees was expected to be able to obey their boss. Now, why? Because he was the one that was placed over them. By the way, taxes is almost due, and we have to pay our taxes. It's an honest Christian. You're not saying amen about that either. But supposed to pay our taxes because that's what honest people do. All right? But Romans chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation." So why is it that it is important to not resist the ordinances or the created authorities that God places in our life? Because if we do, it brings condemnation to us. All right? Now, how do we view this? What are some observations tonight about authority? Statement number one, all authority is from God. All authority is from God. All right? So the choir director has authority from God over the choir. The bus director has authority from God over the bus ministry. The Sunday school teacher has authority from God over the Sunday school class. All authority is from God. Statement number two, obedience to that authority is obedience to God. Obedience to that authority is obedience to God. All right, so when somebody in the choir obeys Brother Palmore, in essence, they're obeying God. When a wife obeys her husband, in essence, she is obeying God. When a child obeys the parent, then in essence, the child is obeying God. Now, why? Because God is the one that ordained the ordinance, if you will please. God is the one that gave the authority there. Statement number three, disobedience to that authority is disobedience to God. So if obedience to that authority is obedience to God, then disobedience to that authority is likewise disobedient to God. So when somebody disobeys their teacher in the school, then they're also disobeying God. When somebody disobeys a higher power that God has placed in their life, and by the way, this is not the higher power of the Alcohol Anonymous. This is not it. They believe in a higher power. The only problem is they don't know what that higher power is. The higher power that is in your life is God that is in your life. God has put himself as the higher power. Now here's what God does. God deputizes, or God puts in positions. He's the one that ordains those that's going to be in certain positions that's going to be over you in a physical state of being to be able to guide you. So young people that disobey their mom and dad, when they disobey their mom and dad, there's a whole lot more to it than just disobeying mom and dad. Because when they disobey their mom and dad, they disobey God. All right? So if you check your Bible out, and by the way, if you check your Bible out, you can find this out, that right in the middle, when it gives a long list of adultery, homosexuality, fornication, it gives this, disobedient to parents. So God puts disobedient to parents as the same graven sin as adultery. God puts disobedient to parents as the same graven sin as homosexuality. God puts disobedient to parents as the same graven sin as fornication. Now here's what we'll do. We will classify sin the way that we think what is the baddest. But God puts it in the same line and saying this is just as bad as that. All right, so listen to me, child. It is very important that you obey your parents. It is very important that you obey those that have authority over you to be able to make right decisions. That's statement number one. All authority is from God. Statement number two, I said obedience to that authority is obedience to God. Statement number three, disobedience to that authority is disobedience to God. Statement number four, God's plan is that everyone be an authority and be under authority. All right, so God's plan is that everybody be an authority and be under an authority. Now, we've had several things that's here in the Bible, and we'll see this to be true, that nobody has a right to be unanswerable or unaccountable. Yeah. Nobody has a right. All right, everybody's supposed to be accountable to somebody. All right, in the book of Acts, I'll give you something that's noteworthy about it. The book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and it says, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down, it says, to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, why did he tell him to do that? Well, we understand that there was a eunuch that was going to be coming back from Jerusalem. He went down to Jerusalem. I believe he was hungry. He was thirsty after that, which is spiritual matters. And I think he went down there to be likened unto the Jews to see if he could have fulfillment. He didn't find it, but he's coming back. Now, who is this one? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, the Bible says, and he arose and he went, and behold, it says, a man of Ethiopia, it says, which it says, watch, it says, be very, very careful. It says, watch what it says here. It says, a eunuch. Now, watch what it says. It says, a eunuch. It says, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. All right, so here, watch what it says. It says that he was a eunuch. Now, he's in authority because he is over that which is the finances of the queen. So he is somebody that's in authority, but yet the Bible says that he is also somebody under authority. So here comes a man that's in authority who is also under authority. The Bible says he had charge, it says, of all her treasure. All right, so he went down to Jerusalem to worship. He didn't find what he needed. It was vain. It was empty. So he's coming back, and here comes Philip. Philip runs along that which is chariot. He climbs up in there. If you remember the story, you'll see that the eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, he said, now what in the world are you reading? And he said, well, how can I know unless a man shows me? And so Philip climbed up there and preached unto him Jesus, the scriptures say. And so as he preached unto him Jesus, that eunuch got under conviction, received Christ as Savior. Now, we understand this, that here was a man that was in authority, that brought himself under authority, brought himself under Philip's teaching. And because of that, God raised him up to have a greater authority, because now he's not just a eunuch, he is a saved eunuch. He's not just a treasure now, he is a saved treasure. So everybody, God's plan is for everybody to be in an authority and to be under an authority. Let me give you another example. In the Bible, you'll see this. Luke chapter 7 and verse 8. The Bible says, and it says, for I also am a man, it says, under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and I say to another, come, and he cometh, and he says to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. All right, so here's a man that had authority. He was under authority, and yet he also had authority. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, and Jesus says, when he was entered into Capernaum, and he came unto him, a centurion, it says, beseeching him. Now, the word centurion, if you'll look it up, it simply means this. It means, here's a man that it's 100. So he's over 100 men. So that's where you get the word century. You have centurion, you get the word century from it. It means 100. All right, so here's a man that is over 100 men. Now, watch this, if you will. Look down in verse 8. The Bible says, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant, it says, shall be healed. Now, look at it in verse 8, Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers, it says, under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh. And it says, and my servant, do this and do that. So he was a man that was in authority, but yet he was a man that was also under authority. So God wants us to be able to be somebody that's able to do some role switching. Some role switching. Okay? Give me an example. Brother Bulkley here is our Sunday school superintendent for the A department. All right? Now, he is a man that's in authority, but yet I, as the pastor, he is also under authority. Okay, Dr. Smell, he's over our college, vice president of the college, doing a good job. All right, and so he's a man that's in authority, but then me being pastor, he is under authority. All right, same with the other men. All right, now wait, here's what he's talking about. So we find ourselves being somebody that's in authority and under authority. All right, you think about somebody that goes to West Point. Somebody that goes to West Point, you think about that individual, we're training him to be the next leader. He's going to be the next general. But when they go to West Point, what do? They're trained to follow. They're not trained to lead. But when they go to West Point, they're trained to be followers. You think about people like Douglas MacArthur, that was a contemporary American leader, if you will, please. When he went to West Point, he did not go there and first was in charge. He went there first and was under charge. Because he was under charge, he learned how to follow. And the best leaders, I tell you for sure, the best leaders you'll ever find anywhere in the world has at one time in their life been a great follower. God would take nobody and raise them to leadership that has not earned their way to leadership. Okay? Okay, give me an example. Brother Yao is somebody that's over the bus captains, the bus captains over the bus workers that are over the riders. You have tiers of leadership. Brother Bokley over the A Sunday school. He's A Sunday school superintendents over all the Sunday school teachers in the A department. The Sunday school teachers over the workers in the A department. The workers in the A department over all the students or all those that are in their classes in the A department. So you have tiers of different leadership. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's nine people in America, I really believe, that's ruining America. They're just ruining America. You take the senators. The senators are elected to Congress for 6 years. It's an elected position. They're elected to Congress for 6 years, an elected position. A congressman is elected for 2 years in the House of Representatives, just 2 years. That's it. You have a governor, a president, and a vice president that's elected for 4-year terms. It's an elected position. But you have those that sit in the Supreme Court justice that are given a position, not elected by the people, but as appointed position, and they're there till death. It's not an elected position. And yet, and by the way, they were there to pass judgment and enforcing a already creative law. They were not there to create a law. They were not there to establish a law. But for some reason, down through the years, the authority has shifted, and now they pass judgment on whether homosexuality is correct or not correct, and it comes down through the Supreme Court, and it later becomes law. A little bit backwards, isn't it? They are the ones that pass the law on abortion. They're the ones that pass law on what is right and what is not right. All right? Now wait. I'm saying this. I'm saying all authority is from God. And by the way, listen to me, but is from God, but God uses people. Oh, okay, an example. Watch this. Let's say that God wanted Mike Wells and to become pastor of Parkside Baptist Church. You ready for this? You ready? Okay, here we go. Let's say that God wanted Mike Wells to become pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, but the people was cantankerous. And the people said, we don't want a preacher that's going to stand up and preach the Bible. Now, by the way, I know churches that are that way. We don't want a preacher that's going to stand up and tell us what the Bible says about living. We don't want that. We don't want a preacher that's going to have a soul-winning drive. We don't want that. All right? Now, wait a minute. But it would be God's will. Did you know that that because we are created with a free volitional will, if we do not submit ourselves to God, then God cannot work through us? That's why it's important you as a parent, you walk with God. That's why it's important that you as a teenager, you walk with God. You know what God's will is. You obey the will of God. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Okay, so all authority is from God. Statement number two, obedience to that authority is obedience to God. Disobedience to that authority, statement number three, is disobedience to God. Statement number four, God's plan is that everyone be in an authority and under authority. Statement number five, everyone needs to assure and be assured. Everyone needs to assure and be assured. Okay, every time Brother Palmore stands up in front of the choir, what he does is he gives that choir security. Every time he stands up in front of it. When a Sunday school teacher stands up and teaches a Sunday school lesson, he gives that person that's in that Sunday school class security. When somebody that's over a bus route, they're there and they're in their place and they're doing their job. It gives the people there, the happiest teenager is the one that feels secure because dad knows what he's doing. Not a wishy-washy dad, but dad knows what he's doing. Now, this is going to shock you. Every teenager likes rules because rules give clarity. And the more you're clear, the happier your young person will become because now they understand what's expected. The parent that has no rules has no directive. And if you have no directive, your teenager will walk around and everything to them is gray. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to please you. One minute they're doing this and that doesn't please you. So they switch over. Next minute they do this and that doesn't please you. The next minute they switch over and they're trying all these avenues to please you to the point of frustration. Because all they're wanting is dad to stand up and say, yes, you can do this, and no, you can't do this, and yes, you can accomplish this, and no, you can't accomplish this. All they're wanting is somebody just to give them some guidance. And so it is a feather in your hat if you're a dad that loves your teenager enough to give them directives in their life to help them accomplish the will of God in their life. All right? And so God's plan is that everyone be in authority and under authority. I system number five. That everyone needs to assure and be assured. Statement number six. The way to authority is to submit or submission to authority. So the way to authority is submission to authority. Again, it goes back to the principle. It goes back to the principle as you submit to an authority, then God will give you more authority. To whom much is given, much is required. But you read over and over in the Bible when God gave somebody something and they did nothing with the something, then God took it away and he gave it to somebody else. Why? Because they did not perform the task that they were supposed to perform with the given responsibility or the talents that they had. I was an assistant pastor for 10 years. For 10 years, learning. 10 years, learning. All right. Then God placed me in the pastorate. All right. And a pastor, small country rural church. Okay. Learning. Then God placed me in evangelism. Learning. Then God placed me in a church that had a Bible college. Okay. Learning, teaching. Okay. Now, what am I saying? All right. Here's what God does. And then God placed me over pastors, if you will, please, all over in the Philippines. The last year that we were conducting conferences in the Philippines, we had close to 3,000 pastors that came to be trained. That's a lot of preachers. All right. What were they doing? They were coming saying, teach me. Teach me what to do. Teach me how to do this. Okay, now what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the way to authority is submission to authority. When you submit to an authority, then here's what takes place. God says, okay, what I can do is I can take and give you more authority. A teenager says, well, I tell you what, I will obey. I obey the preacher in the church, but I won't obey my parents at home. Then you cannot be right with God. God expects you to be obedient to all those authorities. That's statement number one. All authority is from God. Statement number two, obedience to that authority is obedience to God. Statement number three, disobedience to that authority is disobedience to God. Statement number four, God's plan is that everyone be in an authority and under an authority. Okay. Statement number five, everyone needs to be assured and, of course, needs to assure and be assured. Statement number six, the way to authority is submission to authority. Statement number seven, authority was not given to make laws, but to carry out his laws. Was not given to make laws, but to carry out his laws. So the policeman has no right to make the law, but the policeman has been given by God the authority to enforce the law. Okay, those that's in the Supreme Court justice has not a right to make the law, but only has a right to enforce the law that has been already given by God to be enforced. Okay, illustration, okay? If I'm preaching off in a different place, in a different state, and an emergency comes up where I cannot be reached, All right, maybe I'm in the Philippines, or maybe I'm preaching some conference someplace. All right, then what has happened is, God has ordained, God has placed me in a position as pastor. All right, so God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Mike Wells in the position of pastor at Parkside Baptist Church. All right, and all of a sudden, emergency pops up. Then what Brother Bulkey's going to do is he's going to stand up, and he's going to say, okay, what would preacher do if preacher was here? Because he operates in my stead, okay? All right, and by the way, that's what every wife should do. Are you listening to me? When your husband, yea, father, is not in the home, is you should operate in the stead of your husband when it comes to being able to give out discipline, when it comes to being able to functionally train those children, because you and your husband need to be together. You want to see a dysfunctional family. It is one dad that has one set of rules and a mom that has another set of rules, and they can't get their act together as to what set of rules are the right rules. You want to see a child that's messed up in the head. Mom has this set of rules that she governs the house by the day. Dad comes home and he has another set of rules that he governs the house by the night. And now you've got a child that's stuck in the middle of that mess and not knowing, okay, now which way do I go? I'm confused. You know, mom says I'm supposed to do this. Dad comes home and we switch all the way over here and we're supposed to do this. Yeah, hello? You have a college teacher that obeys the handbook here with the students. You have another college student or college teacher that doesn't obey the handbook with these students over here, and the poor college student is walking around shaking their head saying, what's up? Hello? You have a boss that has assistants, and he says, and he goes on vacation or something. You have a boss that runs the company, and the boss says, okay, this is the directive, this is the purpose, this is the resolve. And then all of a sudden he goes off, and his assistants decide that they're going to split this up and run this way with it and this way with it. And when he comes back, he's got a mess to straighten out. All right, now what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that authority was not given to make laws, but was given to carry out the laws. So authority, okay, all right, we lost the Vietnam War. Now, why did we lose the Vietnam War? Because there are those that were supposed to get in that decided to be draft dodgers, and they ran someplace else. My opinion, you can get mad at me. My opinion, but President Clinton should have never been elected as an official, as a president of the United States. Because when it came to the war, he ran. And so when he ran, what took place is he put himself in a position that he should have never been placed in a position of authority. You see, in order to be in a position of authority, you have to bring yourself under an authority. 8 years as assistant pastor for Dr. Williams. Eight years. I love that dear man. 8 years. We grew old together. 8 years. I loved him like I loved a daddy. 8 years. I watched Brother Williams as he got older, and he wouldn't keep his shoe shined. Bothered me with doctors in our church and lawyers. We had men of high prestige. I watched that church grow, and I wanted to protect my pastor. So I'd sneak in, find out when he was asleep, and I'd ask his secretary. He had a couch in his office. By the way, any pastor has a couch in his office for multi-purposes, not just counseling, I promise you. And a couch in his office, and so I'd sneak in. Find out what time he was asleep. I steal his shoes. And then I get my senior high boys, so they learn to love their pastor. I get my senior high boys. I say, look, it's your turn. They shine his shoes real good. Take them back in his office. Now, why did I do that? I did that because God placed him in the position of being my pastor. God ordained the position. Now let's stay with me now. That's an ordained position. Has nothing to do with the personality of the man. Has nothing to do with who fills the position. It's an ordained position. Can I tell you something? There was times Brother Williams is in heaven now, and I'm not his assistant pastor now. There was times I sharply disagreed with my pastor. But you were an assistant. Yeah, I know who I was. And I sharply disagreed with my pastor. And that was between him and I, and nobody in the church ever knew about it. Not one person. You know why? Because I was not sent there to damage his work. I was sent there to help him, love him, encourage him. All right? And so I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you and I understand this, that God is the one that puts people in ordained positions. And by the way, it's not a mistake that you have the Sunday school teacher you have. Ordained position. It's not a mistake you have the choir director you have. Ordained position. God didn't mess up. Brother Moore, now youth director, doing a great job. No mistake. I said no mistake. You have a college teacher. No mistake. Vice president, children's director. No mistake. Principal, no mistake. Wait, let's go farther. Mom, dad. No mistake. Well, you know, I wish my mom wasn't so moody. God is using her moodiness to train you in an area that you need. And without her moodiness, you wouldn't receive the proper training. God gave you exactly what you needed in your mother. Don't run from it, run to it. Why don't you get on your knees and say, "Dear God, thank you for my mother who is so moody. God, I thank you for every mood swing she has every 5 minutes. Oh, God, thank you. I love it." You know, thank God for her moodiness. "Well, God gave me a daddy and he's a grump." Well, God said to be thankful in all things. Is that not right? Looky here. You will never hear me complaining about my daddy. And my daddy drank. He smoked. He cursed. But I think the best daddy a guy could ever have. I wasn't going to bellyache about my daddy. I thank God for my heritage. Well, don't you sometime wish that you were born in a Christian home? Not on your life. God knew exactly where I needed to be to make me who I am today. If you were born into a Christian home, don't you think you could serve Jesus better? No. I like being who I am. God bless you. I made a statement the other day. I was Mike Wells before I came here, and I'm Mike Wells still. Hadn't changed. All right? And so you thank God. You thank God that God has placed you. And let me give you, if I may, just one last statement, and we'll close her down. I said this. I said authority. Last statement I gave you. Authority is not given to make laws, but to carry out laws. Statement number 8, and I'm done. If you ever expect to have those under you to obey you, you will have to obey those over you. Have you ever heard that verse, "As a man soweth, that shall he also reap"? You ever read that verse? Look, I thank you. I do. I thank you. I go off and sometimes I'll preach these conferences, and thank you for praying. I believe the reason that 137 teenagers walk the aisle on Wednesday morning when I preach, and I've never, all the days I've been preaching, I preached at that same church when I preached there. When I preached there on Thursday night, that was the 93rd sermon I preached from that pulpit. 93 times I preached from that pulpit. On Sunday morning, they sent me the stats. Sunday morning, they had a little over 13,000 people that was there on Sunday morning. And, of course, you know, then we had a good return crowd on Sunday night, and that was good. And we had the graduation Sunday night. But never in my day, and I've had over 2,000 young people surrender to full-time service under sermons, but I've never in my life in one given service had 100, over 120, and there was 137 walk the aisle and surrendered to go start independent Baptist churches and be missionaries around the world. Now, I've never had that. Now, let me tell you why I had that. Can I tell you why I had that? I think the reason I had that is because I followed God's ordained position in my life. And I became pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, and there was a dear people back here praying. I called Brother Stead up. He was at the hospital with Mrs. Stead. I knew Mrs. Stead was having surgery, and so I wanted to call Brother Stead up and have prayer when I was in the Philippines. And so I tried to time it right, but anyway, I called up to have prayer with him and to encourage his heart. And right before I called him up, I announced to the young people that we have a dear deacon in our church family, and he has a precious wife, and she's getting ready to undergo surgery. And I announced it to 1,200 teenagers, and 1,200 teenagers bowed and prayed that God, 110 churches, bowed and prayed that God would work on behalf of Mrs. Stead. Now, wait a minute, what is that? You know, I believe all that's a part. I don't think that, are you listening to me? Can I help you? Everybody in here needs everybody else's personality that's in here. Did you know that? It's not a mistake that you're here. You look at yourself and you say, well, I tell you what, nobody likes my personality. You've not given it a chance. Maybe the reason that you've not given it a chance is because you don't like your personality. Maybe if you would like to learn, if you learn to like you better, maybe somebody else would like you. But you're so down on yourself, you're not giving anybody else a chance. Well, people just don't like me because of who I am. Well, you got yourself so convinced you're not giving anybody a chance. But why don't you go stand in front of the mirror and say, I like me. I like me. I like me. I like me. Convince you. Go stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. Go stand in front of the mirror. I drink coffee. I drink No, never mind. Okay. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand that if you ever expect to have somebody under you to obey you, then you have to obey those that are over you. By the way, that's a Bible principle through and through. So before the husband says, that he loves the wife, might it be possible that maybe the wife should say, I love you, husband? Sometimes we have it so backwards. Here's the way we have it. We expect the parents to rise up and do this. If you'll check it out, the first command in the Bible is not to the parents in the child-parent relationship. The first command in the Bible in the child-parent relationship is to the child, not to the parents. May I say this to you children? Before you expect love from your parents, then you better be giving out love from you to your parents. Can I give you something? Before you stand there with your hand out and say, Mom, Dad, give me, give me, give me. Why don't you practice a Bible principle and give to them, give to them, give to them as a child? Hey, come on, the Bible principle is still true. There is a man sow, if that shall he also reap. Instead of going around saying, come on, help me, Mama, help me, Daddy, come on, help me. You never help me. Well, how would you like it if Mama said that as many times as you said that to her? Mom stands around the house saying what you're saying. You never help me. You get tired of that after a while, wouldn't you? How do you think your mama feels? Hello? Well, I wish somebody would say amen. I'm saying this. I'm saying it is important that we understand that God places people in authority. If you ever want to be somebody that is in authority, you have to learn to obey that authority over you. You say, well, I'm a college student. I'm an adult. I can do what I want to do. If you live in your parents' home, then you ought to obey your parents' rules. Well, they ought not tell me how late I can come in after all because I'm an adult. And by the way, if you always got to go around saying, I am an adult, it's because you're not convinced yourself yet. Don't do that. That's like the husband says, well, I'm going to put my foot down because I'm the husband. You do what I say. You don't think we know who you are? You don't think she knew who? Come on. Who are you? Did I really marry you? Have you changed that much? Don't answer that. That's incriminating. God has wonderful things for authority. He really does. If we get a hold of this, I promise you, if you'll make a commitment, if you will make a commitment that you'll give me at least the next 10 weeks, just to teach about this matter of authority. And I promise you this. You listen to me well. I promise you, if you'll be faithful for the next 10 weeks and let me talk to you from the Word of God, from the Word of God to your heart, it will revolutionize the way your family is conducted. It'll revolutionize in your little children's hearts the way they view you as an authority. But God has some wonderful things to teach us about authority.